Thanks for tuning in to the Sermon Podcast for Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas. Our reading this week comes from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, and chapter 13, 1 through 8. We're also touching on Luke's Gospel in chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Thanks for listening. God bless. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This week our family got to get out of town a little bit. It was good to get away, to be out in nature. We stayed in Bryan Head and visited Cedar Breaks National Monument in Utah. And it's a great time to be there because it's social distancing. It's automatic. For those unaware, we were staying at a ski resort that had no snow. The place was empty. It was beautiful. It was glorious. It was good for us to pack up the truck and hit the road. And in preparing for the trip, we planned to bring a lot of our meals with us. And knowing that we'd be gone for a few days, we emptied the fridge and brought out what we would eat. So no more leftovers. We ate breakfast in our little cabin, and we made sandwiches each day. And we had a picnic wherever we found a place to eat, you know, because we were not staying put. We were going to keep on going. And we stood and we ate hurriedly. And we enjoyed the time together. We played outside and hiked to an alpine lake, a little pond, and took in the view of the remains of an ancient sea that once existed just to the east of us, if you didn't know. We stopped at the overlooks and opened our eyes to this amazing scenery displayed all around. And we held on to the little ones tightly because we know they like to jump and we didn't want them to go over the edge. And we learned about how it's the wind that forms the beauty of the canyons and the rock formations, even more than water in that place, the power of this wind that blows, and volcanic eruptions and rock formations, all the movement of the earth, they form these plateaus and the colorful scenery. When you're there, it's not difficult to imagine the world being created and to think about how God is still moving and still making, still masterfully shaping us as well. The trip was also a brief respite, a time to get away from the news cycle and stress and anxiety and the pressures we are all facing in this time. We need relief when we're in that mode of constant worry and feeling of being on high alert all the time. It takes a toll on us. And sometimes we all just need to step back and remember that God is still God. And we are God's people, and that the God who saves and protects and brings peace and justice is always with us. That's what God does. Might seem like a strange time of year to be hearing this Passover story. We normally would hear this during Holy Week, during Lent, as we remember the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. And if it hasn't felt like Lent these last 6 months, maybe you're doing better than most of us. That's okay. We hear this story of the Last Supper and Jesus sharing this meal with his disciples. But today we're going to get to think about this pivotal passage in Scripture a bit more. In the last few weeks, we've heard God's promises in the book of Genesis, where God is already a saving God for Sarah and Abraham, Noah and his family, and in fact, for all of Egypt through the wise leadership of Joseph, who used his power to provide for his family and forgiving them for the wrong they had done to him. We've skipped a bit of the story to get to today, so let me fill you in a little bit. After Joseph, we hear that many years passed, and a new Pharaoh took power who didn't remember Joseph. By then, the Hebrew community had grown, and Pharaoh was afraid they'd become more powerful. So he made them as slaves, forced them to work, and Moses was born, and God called him to lead the people out of Egypt. But Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart and sent 9 plagues, turning the river to blood. Frogs, gnats, flies, diseased livestock, skin disease, storms, swarming locusts, and darkness. But still, the people were not allowed to go free. After the history of oppression in Egypt and all this suffering, nothing had changed. So the Lord prepared a final plague, the 10th plague, the death of all the firstborn children in the land. And this would be literally a new beginning, an event of such great importance that the calendar would be changed to reflect this moment in history. And the Israelites would share a meal and spread the blood of the lamb on the doorposts as a sign of faith that they would be protected. And when the morning came, they would leave Egypt as a free people, ready to follow the Lord and to be as God called them to be. God delivered them. That's the story. That's what God does. And our context is a little different in many ways when we hear that story of the Israelites in Egypt. Yet, when we hear it, it rings some familiar notes, maybe even more so now. Plagues, we can relate. Our natural world, we know, is suffering from the effects of industrialization and human carelessness on our climate. These changes have become real to most of us. We've run out of names for hurricanes this season. Fires continue to rage on the West Coast. And our own area is in a record-breaking dry season. We struggle still with systems that oppress, from the costs of healthcare to an imbalance in our justice system and a political infrastructure that has found us more polarized than ever. Economic inequality is easy to see out in the world. And so many who are able and looking for work are often unable to find positions that pay enough to make the rent. Since March, I've been asked more than a few times if we find ourselves in biblical end times. I don't think so. But maybe Moses and Aaron were thinking that too, as these plagues were happening all around them and the world was changing so rapidly. We can't be sure, but they too, like God's people throughout history, witnessed world-changing shifts in their lives, in their communities, as God prepared people for liberation and led them into a new way of being. Not necessarily into less difficulty, but into something different. The freedom to live by faith, to trust in God, to bring about this abundant life that God would have for them and us. And we hear this story, we're told they prepared the meal, seemingly without questioning what God was about to do, and they gathered together as families, in small groups, and shared what they had with anyone who didn't have enough. And they ate the bread without yeast, unleavened, with all the people themselves prepared and ready to go wherever it was the Lord would direct them. They would use the blood to mark the doorways, a sign of faithfulness and obedience. Then God commanded them to remember the day. And this festival of Passover would be celebrated to remember everything the Lord had done. And the people would share this story with their children and their descendants, so they would know the power of their God to bring about freedom and new life and to protect and to provide. I love sharing Bible stories with kids before they go to bed at night. And most nights, Jacob, who's 4 years old, will ask, "Bible story? Bible story?" Maybe he's just stalling because he's not ready to go to bed yet. But I like to think he wants to hear the story. What's the next chapter? And we were hearing the story last night of David and Goliath. But they love to hear these Bible stories and how important it is for all of us to hear them as well and remember the stories. So I know it's not the same when you're watching your church online on a screen, but still we get to hear the story, and we can value that together. Especially now, to remember the story as we face unprecedented hardships, isolation, disease, and a shifting culture, and we look to an unknown future. Things are going to change, we know that, but when, Lord? When? For now, can we find this kind of faith? Do we trust that God can and will bring about a new future in us and for us? Can we still remind one another what God has done for us? Can we remember? So much of our story is still being written. Our future is still in God's hands. There are signs of it all around. The relatively brief history of our nation is filled with chapters we struggle to fully understand and events we wish had not happened. There has been suffering, and we have experienced suffering, and we have caused suffering. So we live and we try to repair what relationships we can. We try to make the next wise and faithful decision. We sacrifice for one another instead of sacrificing each other. We hold on to each other and are reminded that we are one humanity, one nation, one people created for a reason. Jesus sat with his friends and shared this meal with his forgetful and jealous and denying and betraying friends. He sat and shared this meal with them, remembering everything God had done and preparing for the new thing God was doing. God in Christ was still preparing them and us for liberation from our painful past, from the violence of the world, from our short-sighted ways, from our desires and expectation and the sin that clings to us still. And going to the cross, Jesus became this new way for us, called us to remember, to eat the bread which is his body, to drink the blood that is the stuff of life. Jesus makes us into a new body, a new people, not divided by race or ethnicity, nation or statehood, but one in him, eternity, in eternity. And Jesus feeds us and frees us every day to be this new community of believers. That's what God does. We may be far apart, and faith may be a struggle at times. I have often said how important it is to gather, to be faithful for one another when faith is difficult for us. It might even be hard to pray in these difficult days, but God is still good. The pain and division that plagues us will not last forever. The God who made the rocks and the mountains and the seas and all of life has promised us a new kingdom for all of us, promised us peace and mercy, and to deliver us from the bondage to sin and death. That is what God does. And this story of Moses and the Passover centers around this lived experience of a suffering people, struggling against plagues and oppression and inequality. What does God want from us in this time? Could it be that we are to remember this story, to trust in the God who always delivers, and to embrace faith in this one who keeps promises, and together look forward to the day when liberation is a true and present reality for all of us? Our world is hurting, and we hurt too. But don't forget, God prepares and promises and provides for us. God is doing it now. The wind, that Holy Spirit, that breath is bringing change, just like that wind that formed the canyons and the mountains, making us new in the process. That's what God does.